Great works are performed not by strength, but by perseverance. Samuel Johnson.
Man's time here is finite, but the influence of a man is infinite. The question is, what shall we do with the daylight that remains?
All right, guys, let's get started. Thank you again for showing up. As always, I appreciate you. Today, I'm excited to talk to you a bit about Carol Dweck's work on growth mindset. She is a professor of psychology at Stanford and has some very interesting data and insight onto what a growth mindset is versus a fixed mindset. She's done some studies in her lab. They've worked with children in a school in Chicago and has some very interesting findings. So right off the bat, I want to give you a breakdown of the differences that she's identified between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. A growth mindset is intelligence can be developed. A fixed mindset is intelligence is static, right? So immediately you understand that a growth mindset thinks that there truly is growth, that even though I'm not to a place of intelligence or skill set or something like that, I can get there. Whereas a fixed mindset sort of sees the world as like you kind of come as a package and that's what you are. So going down the list here, a fixed mindset leads to a desire to look smart and therefore a tendency to avoid challenges, give up easily, see effort as fruitless or worse, ignore useful negative feedback, feel threatened by the success of others. As a result, these people may plateau early and achieve less than their full potential. All this confirms a deterministic view of the world. All right. So those exact same ideas from a growth mindset standpoint. This leads to a desire to learn and therefore a tendency to embrace challenges rather than avoid them, to persist in the face of setbacks rather than give up easily, to see effort as the path to mastery rather than see effort as fruitless or worse, to learn from criticism rather than ignore useful criticism or feedback, and to find lessons and inspiration in the success of others rather than feel threatened by their success. As a result, they reach ever higher levels of achievement. All this gives them a greater sense of free will. Isn't that interesting? Free will at the bottom of this. But clearly, the growth mindset provides the individual opportunity to continue to develop skills. Now, some of the studies they've done, they've essentially praised children in different ways. I think they're dealing with about fifth graders, if I remember correctly. But either way, they praise these children. And sometimes it was before like a test, sometimes it was after, and sometimes it was both, sometimes it was neither. Okay, so they had different sets of children. So let's just say group one, they got praised for their natural intelligence, their skills. You're so smart, you're going to do great. Don't worry about it. You're the smartest one in the class. You're going to crush this test. And it was very much about their natural intelligence or skills. And then they would go take the test. And the results of the test were extremely important to that person because this, with this sort of fixed mindset, you kind of are what you are, right? And so if you really are super smart, then this score will reflect it, especially in comparison to your peers. So those children that were praised that way, either prior to the test or after the test or both, over the long term, their progress declined. They sort of plateaued and they quit trying to get better. In fact, some of their post-work studies on these children was that they were much more likely to cheat in order to achieve that high grade, right? And so it was more like, how am I going to maintain that status of super smart? That was the most important thing, not how am I going to continue to become smarter, right? Group two was praised more on their effort, their process, their perseverance, their work ethic, right? And same thing, either before the test or after the test or both. And those students, it was more about how much effort did you put in? How did you work? What process did you implement, right? And you're gonna continue to get better because of your great work. And so the final score, though, probably important to these children, wasn't as important as how much effort they put in and how much progress they could make. And so they see these opportunities as a chance to sort of rewind through their recent past and say, how did I come to this point? Where can I get better? What are my weaknesses? It's almost like the test showed them, where can I work to improve myself, versus the test showed the first group, are you actually super smart or are you not? And it was sort of crushing for a child to receive a bad score that thinks that their native intelligence is all that they have, right? And who they are. So kind of an interesting study on what growth mindset can do for somebody. People with growth mindsets see a stressful opportunity as a time to challenge themselves, implement a process, figure out where they're strong and where they're weak, and sort of reverse engineer a plan to improve, whereas a fixed person might shut down. A fixed mindset individual will avoid those stressful situations. They don't want the feedback. And they've actually done brain scans on these individuals, and you can see it in the brain. A different brain scan of somebody who's stressed out with a growth mindset versus someone who's stressed out with a fixed mindset. And the fixed mindset is not very good. The good news is you can develop a growth mindset by implementing some of these strategies that she's laid out. Now, I mentioned earlier that she worked with a school in Chicago where they implemented this strategy. Instead of giving the students an F, they gave them a not yet grade. Now, the F compared to a not yet fits more in that fixed mindset type feedback, like you're a failure or you failed. Whereas a not yet is more of a keep trying, keep working, work the process, grow, you'll get there. Right. And when they implemented these strategies of not yet and keep working and praising effort, these children made rapid progress. And one teacher in particular led her class to the top of their peer group just by implementing these strategies of growth mindset feedback, right? Praising effort and work ethic. Now, operating in this space just outside of your comfort zone is the key to improving your performance. It's also the critical element to deliberate practice. So people approach these problems with two mindsets. Are you not smart enough to solve it, or have you just not solved it yet? So she says in her talk, praising the process that kids engage in, their effort, their strategy, their focus, their perseverance, their improvement, this process praise creates kids who are hardy and resilient. Now, if we go back to Angela Duckworth's book, Grit, she talks about, you know, hardiness, resilience, and grit as the key factor of success, right? She works at this military school, and only a fraction of the kids actually graduate because it's so difficult and you have to really have some grit and resilience to get through it. And it's this type of praise that gives kids grit and resilience, which is ultimately who's going to be successful. So further down in her talk, she says, in one study, we taught them that every time they push out of their comfort zone to learn something new and difficult, the neurons in their brain can form new, stronger connections. And over time, they can get smarter. Students who were not taught this growth mindset continued to show declining grades over this difficult school transition, but those who were taught this lesson showed a sharp rebound in their grades. We've shown this now, this kind of improvement, with thousands and thousands of kids, especially struggling students. So teaching the kids this concept of growth mindset versus fixed mindset changed their outcomes. So after learning about this for some time, I've started implementing these things into my life, right? The way I give feedback to my kids. In fact, the way I view their practice. So my son is on a baseball team and it's pretty competitive. And of course, you know, every kid wants their kid to be at the top of the totem pole. It's just fun to be the winner and the very biggest, strongest, fastest, hardest hitter, hardest thrower, et cetera, right? But the reality in baseball is there's sort of a need for every type of kid in those various aspects. And usually there's not one kid that does it all. Now, Shohei Ohtani may be the exception there, but to look at it in a different mindset and go, look, he's getting all these opportunities to practice both indoor and outdoor a couple times a week with fantastic athletes and a good coach who's obsessive about the game and all these things, right? So what's the process we're in? View it as a process, not what are the outcomes that are happening. For me personally, I'm in sales. I recently started a fairly new job in sales. And so it's like, there's so much ahead of me that I can really dive into and take advantage of. And I could go in so many different directions. And so I'm of course trying to organize that, but in my little planner, I created a little effort score that I give myself and I rate myself on my effort. Because the reality is in sales, there's only so much you can control, so much that you can do. And then it's really up to a variety of uncontrollable things. The things I can control are what are my effort with planning and making sales calls and visiting people and having lunches with people and my network and all the various aspects, my knowledge of the products and services and credentialing to get into more hospitals and those kinds of things. Like, what's my effort score on a daily basis to continue to execute the things that we've identified as important priorities, right? So I would encourage you to do the same. Create yourself an effort score, whether it's in parenting, in work, in sports, in your support of your children, in teaching your children about growth mindset. There's a variety of ways you can support yourself and your children as far as an effort score goes. And I think it's been extremely helpful for me because really, what can you control? You can control where your focus lies, what you're going to focus on, and how much effort you're going to give to that thing, right? So that's one of my main takeaways from this whole process I've been going through with digging into the growth mindset and building resiliency in myself as well as my children and the people around me. So I hope you guys found some value in this. I would highly encourage you to go check out Carol Dweck's work. She seems like a really intelligent person. She's got a lot of resources out there. I've never read her book, but that's one I need to get. And she has some fantastic talks online. So go check her out. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, one way that you could support the show is by writing a review, subscribing, or sharing this content. All three of those things will help me reach a broader audience and gain brownie points with the gods of podcasting. And so I appreciate you guys very much, and we'll catch you on the next one. Hey, thanks for listening to the entire episode. As a token of gratitude, I want to give you a discount on my book, Ingrained. Head over to bronsonwilks.com/store and download Ingrained for less than $1 with the coupon code GOALS, GOALS.